Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is your championship edition. This is the everything's been decided, y'all. It's over, you know. You put in all that work on the field in the summer, you didn't. And you put in that time both in the community and in the weight room.
In the weight room.
That all came to fruition in the season. And if it all worked out, then lo, you got a chance to play in a conference championship game, which is really actually pretty bad for your team. Like, because, you know, you can actually make the playoff without having to play one of those. It's an innovation, an Alabama-vation, if you will, that they've employed not once, but at least twice, depending on how you count it. Jason, you got somewhere to start us talking about this foolishness?
So, let's go back. We're going to talk some Big Ten. So I just want to run through a few things and see if we can find a connecting strand between these things. The Big Ten, one of its big talking points is we play 9 conference games, and if you make the conference title game, you play 10 conference games. And that sounds cool and impressive until you remember that includes teams like Illinois, Maryland, and then a certain team that really tops those in just overall embarrassingness, name association, whether they're improved or not. Of course, I'm going with Rutgers. Okay. And we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere with this.
Okay.
Rutgers added to the Big Ten a few years after they were decent enough to make themselves at least presentable enough that it didn't feel like a completely crass cash grab by the Big Ten. Now, when Rutgers was decent, do you recall the head coach at the time?
No clue. Name familiarity or recent events tied to this name couldn't possibly jar the moniker from the vast recesses of my brain. No. Who was that?
Well, I'm gonna reach back and tell you that the name was Greg Schiano. Okay.
Goodness.
Might not be familiar with that name, but that's fine. Let's skip forward a little bit. The recent NFL coaching tenure that not only was it a debacle on the field, also included disease scandals off the mm-hmm. field and players hating a coach openly and players diving at knees and just like. Out of all the botched NFL coaching tenures, it might have been the worst. Do you know the name that's associated with this one?
Oh, no. Please, fill me in.
Well, that's, again, Greg Schiano. Same, one in the same.
Goodness, okay.
So, here we are. We move forward to 2017. An especially invigorating coaching carousel is underway.
That's one way to put it, yes.
Led by Tennessee. Tennessee at the forefront of this exciting whirlwind of transactions. The most spectacular moment of Tennessee's coaching search so far, the when the wisdom of the crowd rose up and rejected a hire that pen had already been applied to paper. Do you know who the coach was at that point?
No. You, again, please fill me in.
Once again, it was Greg Schiano.
Huh.
Now, here we are with the college football playoff committee. They've just seen a Saturday full of conference championship games. They're sitting in their boardroom with their computers. Look like they run Windows 98 based on the ESPN montage. They're sitting around there debating. You know, it's pretty clear it's going to come down to Alabama, which of course doesn't need to play conference championship games. Only needs to play 2 ranked teams all year, or Ohio State, which lost a game to Oklahoma and also lost a game to Iowa. The problem with those 2 losses is they weren't close. And in fact, Ohio State gave up 55 points. Now, do you know the name of Ohio State's defensive coordinator?
You know what? I'm just going to make a guess. I'm going to guess that was Greg Schiano.
It was Greg Schiano! The most important game of the entire college football season involved Greg Schiano fucking up. And that has been the story of football for quite a while now.
So it's as if he were contagious.
Just an outbreak throughout the heartland. we gotta burn it all down. It's useless. Don't even look at it.
Greg Schiano is the outbreak monkey of basically disastrous football things, is what you're trying to tell me.
Pretty much.
I enjoy people who defended him by saying, "Oh man, you know, but he's a, like, you know, we looked into it. And like, you know, I know him, and Urban Meyer knows him, and you know, he says he's a great guy." Okay. he might be a great guy. He didn't coach the Bucks into the floor. You know, like, you can do both. I know plenty of real nice guys who are incompetent.
Right? Sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's actually, like, you know, it's pretty common when you're like, yeah, that guy's really, really cool. Don't let him light the grill.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd trust Greg to light the grill.
Yeah, a 14-step process.
I think it's like the, you know, max intensity. Anymore.
What you need to do is knock the grill over while it's on fire. Show it who's business. Yeah, I don't think that anything in this, by the way, sounds inaccurate. I'm just gonna, you know, we're a very scientific podcast. We like to decide things based on the numbers. And the numbers for me that stick out here when you go, oh yeah, like hey, they put Alabama in. Well, first of all, hey, listen, it's not my fault Alabama's smarter than you. Oh no, that's on you. That should always be on you. And you're like, oh man, how'd Alabama get in without playing a championship game?
Outsmarted by Alabamans again.
Can't be that hard.
See your problems.
That's like when somebody says, oh, I don't know if we'll ever have a good football program in Pitt State here. Okay. I'm gonna fill you in on something here, okay? Alabama's good at it. This isn't that hard. You just need a commitment to certain methodologies. Certain recruiting methods. Then everybody just comes on board. It's not hard, y'all. You just write checks. Write checks and get permission to do some stuff. That's it. Can't be that hard. State of Alabama's, you know, good at it, right? And what else are they good at? That's a really long list. Too long for this podcast is my rationale for not giving you a second thing that the state happens to be good at, which is actually good, right? Not going to cheat and be like, man, what are they good at? Boll weevils. Okay, that's an old thing. They're not even good at boll weeveling anymore.
Oh, damn. Done fell off. So, yeah, I mean, the debate to me, Alabama versus Ohio State, Alabama obviously flawed, imperfect, undeniable. You know, far from the best of the Saban era, far from an open and shut case. If you had, you know, if you had a 12-1 conference champion anywhere in sight, we'd be delighted to include them. But there weren't any of those. And Greg Schiano gave up 55 points to Iowa. So, Ohio State, you are fairly out. Yeah. And that's that.
And that's a shame, by the way. I will say this, too. Like, I think this was the case that I thought was going to happen, which is rare. I'm usually wrong, right? I let my emotions get the best of me. You know, and you're like, oh, no, man. That team deserves to be in because they're cool. Like, that's... Like, you know, if you're asking me, like, oh, man.
Put UCF in!
Of course! Like, if you want the coolest thing, man, it's when you go, oh, no, we're going to put UCF. We're going to put USC, right? Why? They're cool. Like, that's how this works. So we just pick it and go, okay. I did it because I like them.
Wait, you know? Why isn't Georgia in there? I don't like his haircut.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart's got a, he's got a Jim Carrey haircut.
They have too many good running backs.
Too many. I get confused.
It's too easy for him. You can't have that. You gotta have somebody. It's that'd be like being able to hit two drives off the tee every time you play golf. That's about the only golf metaphor I'll ever use or understand. Right there. I know you get one drive, and after that, it's a mystery. It's a big fog.
Just ball's gone.
Trying to speak your language, Georgia fans.
You got a month to catch
it's
up.
It's either that or like dime store libertarianism. I don't know. Like, I'll meet you where you live is what I'm saying. Okay, that's the kind of customer service we give you. The point is this: I really would have liked to have seen this Ohio State team play, because they do really cool, really cool shit. Like, there's no argument against that, right? Like, when they get, like, against Wisconsin, when they got the ball to Paris Campbell, right? And you just saw him versus some, I don't know, person not as fast as he was on the Wisconsin team, which could be any one of 22 people at any given time on either starting depth chart for Wisconsin, because nobody's as fast as Paris Campbell on that roster. No one. Like, that's, I love watching Urban Meyer teams. You know why? Everyone is insanely fast. All of them. So many things that could be considered mistakes that they might do, right? So many little flaws are masked by the fact that by the time they correct them, you just started your tackle, right? Like, oh, look, he fumbled the ball and 30 yards downfield. Bloop.
On. Yeah, the Big Ten championship game was great, because just everything was as itself as it could possibly be. Ohio State is, if they get just the slightest flash of open grass, touchdown, 80 yards, touchdown, you know, whereas Wisconsin is just laboring over every yard and like, okay, we're going to have our fullback run a wheel route and then we're going to squeeze out 12 yards.
I mean, it just, everything was so hard for them.
Wisconsin was just working its ass off and like hanging around. It's just like Ohio State's going so damn fast that it's like bonking into walls and stuff. And, you know, in extremely Urban Meyer fashion, of course, you did have a quarterback out there, JT Barrett, who is 6 days off knee surgery. Carried the ball 19 times with one leg.
Sure.
Which is about the most Urban Meyer thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And played an okay game. If you're playing a really good defense, you put up what, 24, something like that. You put up enough points. We'll say that. I'm not looking it up. Why should I do that?
No.
They're not a playoff team. I don't care about their stats.
Yeah. You know who doesn't look up? J.K. Dobbins. Just, he's running. What yard line is it? Doesn't matter. It won't be the one I'm on. It won't be that one for long. Man, he's fun to watch. I love that scheme too. And I know that like they tend to ride JT Barrett. I'd point out, by the way, that like given his recent surgery, it was probably the correct, like, this is an insane, this is how dumb football can be as a sport. It made sense to run the guy who had just had knee surgery because he was missing guys deep because it looked like he wasn't quite like, you know, he's still on his, like, baby post-surgery fawn legs, right? In terms of correctly gauging the pressure you needed to place to drive the ball to the deepest receiver. And it's not like Barrett's been that accomplished a passer anyway, right? Kevin Wilson and that offensive staff did a lot of work this year in order to put him in good positions where he had good, easy throws. They were great. They did an awesome job. So did JT Barrett. But, like, that's JT Barrett. He's going to miss an open receiver. It's going to happen. So it kind of made sense to go, like, yeah, boys, running the single wing with the guy who just got knee surgery. Big Ten champs.
Here we go. His game's always been efficiency, short efficiency, runs that, like, you know, he's not super fast. You know, he's going to get the yards.
Yeah, no.
You know, if he happened to have a different skin tone, I think people would have an easier time describing his game. You know, he just grits his way to 4 yards. Needed 3, and he got 3.1. You know, like, gritty, gritty, tough. Like, imagine if a fucking white quarterback came out 6 days after a surgery, you know, and won a conference title. There would be statues on every corner.
So many guys in sweatshirts playing the training montage from Rocky IV over and over again. Heart's on fire! When JT Barrett does it, they're like, he's missing deep passes.
The guy with one leg threw it 80 yards when he should have thrown it 70. Sucks.
Yeah, I love the way they work that offense, though. And, like, it is one thing I am hoping you see a little bit more of at Florida. When you spread the ball out like that and you have a running quarterback, sometimes those run lanes, it's awesome. You just look up and you're like, oh, hey, look, there's a running back 15 yards downfield. 9 nanoseconds after the snap. How'd that happen? You're like, everybody freaked out about the quarterback, and boop! Look, we got a run lane like the size of a driveway, just extending to infinity. That happens when you have somebody like J.K. Dobbins, who was so good, that he ruined a Dwayne Wade like soundbite on SportsCenter because LeBron was yelling about it, going, "Yeah, freshman point record," in the background in SportsCenter. Love you, love you, Bron Bron.
Collision in the end zone between, I forget who was carrying the ball, probably a full. Baffled at buckle up and a hero who the internet dubbed Turf Guy had to go out and massage the field back together. Just out there, Purdue grad out there tending the fields.
Yeah, that's a like king of all dads for a night. There's a guy who's like, "Bah, got a turf issue. I don't know, boys. I think I'm gonna get this one. I got it. That's Lord of all dads for one night and one night only is the guy who went out and fixed the field turf.
What is the turnover chain of dad totems?
You know what it is? It's the green rake. Because remember,
he's got the golden rake.
Yeah. I don't even know if we need to go golden. Let's just go with that same plastic green rake because.
We don't need a golden rake for.
Gold is ductile. I know. Yeah. But it doesn't quite
the
flex.
Plastic rake.
Plastic rake flexes like you need to in order to get the most leaves displaced per stroke.
I think it would be like a expensive sounding composite. You know, that's a Darthotite rake. Those are great. Those are worth the money. I don't buy a lot of stuff, but when I do, I get the best. It's a $150 rake. It's worth it,
dude. Any guy who says, "You know what? I don't buy much stuff, but when I do, I get the best."
He's a fucking liar.
He buys all the stuff. All
you
of
two
it.
Boats.
Yeah, but I bought the best twice.
They're both the best.
This is the best, and this is the best.
Even better.
Yeah. And, you know, Eddie, it's like, this goes with my usual law of adult communication that when somebody you don't know is telling you something, just invert it, and that's what it means, right? Like, I'm a frugal guy. You've been bankrupt twice.
You're frugal now.
Yeah.
Because the courts know about it.
Like, when Nick Saban says, as he did, you know, if we'd lost by 30 points, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah, you would. You know why? Because you're Alabama. That's why. You're still gonna try to get in. Every coach will. All of them.
I think my favorite part about his politicking was the week before he was talking about, well, I think, you know, if you look at what this team's accomplished. What the fuck did you accomplish? You beat Fresno State and... You didn't accomplish a shit. You blew out a bunch of okay teams. I mean, cool. It worked for you. That's fine. Everyone knows you're great. Fine. Shut up. You probably beat Clemson. Shut the fuck up. No one cares. But, like, accomplished. I don't. Hey, put 60 points on Ole Miss. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. You beat LSU. There. You beat LSU. You beat Mississippi State. So
we're one of two teams in Alabama to beat LSU. One of them is the Sun Belt co-champ.
Yeah, it's true. When you get them on, you know what? When you say that, you know, hey, man, listen, we didn't want to play Mercer.
Fucking Mercer, man. Mercer has caught so many goddamn strays.
Well, first of all, why are you going to insult the pride of Macon like that?
Why are you dragging Macon through the fucking mud, man? The Allman Brothers, Otis Redding, man, if you're a Macon legend right now, you are the name of your town is being sullied. Coast to coast, well, from edge of the Midwest to other edge of the Midwest, just for the fact that your university has a, you know, football team that's in the FCS subdivision and is basically as good as Illinois anyway.
Yeah, that and I will also put this, the epicenter of the disease known as SEC basketball fever is in somewhere between Auburn and Tuscaloosa. Like, two, when we say SEC basketball fever, you mean, oh, God. Who watches that shit? You know, this year, apparently, I don't know. There's like two good teams. Florida might be good. I'm a really great Florida fan, by the way, for basketball, if it's not real obvious. Are they good? Have they started playing? Is that a thing? But I know one thing Mercer has that Alabama doesn't, and that's They've won an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, like, they beat Duke, and then they hit the nay-nay on the side of the court.
Yeah, they had a white boy hit the nay-nay with accuracy, enthusiasm, and precision.
Yeah, what y'all know about Macon? Y'all don't know shit about Macon. National media elites think they know Macon. You couldn't handle the fucking Nats.
Not a damn thing. Yeah, exactly. Bring all. You don't know what these Nats are like, bro. You don't know.
You don't know shit. The plague of pestilence.
What do you know about the Nat Belt, huh?
Up there in fucking Columbus, Ohio,
or you know, wherever you're from, Medill person, wherever, come down and mess with the Nat Belt.
See there. Now Bama's got 3 quality wins.
Yeah, once you come down and eat that Cheddar's right off I-75, I think that's the 3rd Macon exit. You'll notice it's a denuded hill with a large highway sign that says Cheddar's.
I feel like the South Georgia Nats thing is something that like people think is made up or exaggerated.
You know, I think there's like a lot of really great regional phenomena that that play out like that. Like, you know, people are like, yeah, you know what? The wind doesn't ever fucking stop in Cody, Wyoming, you know? And you're like, ah, man, that's bullshit. And then you go to Cody and you're like, this would drive a man mad.
I'm walking sideways. All the time.
This is nuts.
Why
are you here? Why is anyone here? Yeah, the Nats. Nats are a real thing. Like, I went down to Statesboro to do a story on them like many, many moons ago, and like 3 coaches ago. And going there for the first time in the summer, you're like, oh man, I walked through a cloud of Nats. That'll disperse, right? Nope. You're just like, listen, man. You know, in case you ever see anyone just country strong and jacked from Statesboro, Georgia, you know how they got there? It's all that extra protein they're just inhaling. Just, just gnat, right? They're all like massive whales, right?
And
just,
it's a gnat ain't nothing but flying plankton.
It is. It's just air plankton. They're just, you're like, well, man, I haven't seen him eat today. And man, he just put up like sets of 315 at the Gold's Gym. Like, what the hell is going on? You're like, yep, it's that air plankton, man. Moving like a majestic sperm whale.
See? Mercer's so strong.
Yeah. Maybe that's what you need, Columbus. Maybe, bro. You know what you need to work into your routine? While you're trying to, you know, I don't know, what's the hot workout right now? It's probably like the Hulk workout where you try to look like the actual Hulk from like the Avengers movie, right? But not CGI.
So you try to look like Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, you try to look like this. First of all, buy some pleated pants.
First, you're gonna buy like a turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna gain like 5 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, and you're gonna kind of slump a little bit. You know, that's like just that's a very important thing for a character actor. And you're like, I'm going to play a nerd. I'm gonna slump a little. that is all something that I think you need to work on. You need to go ahead and get out. You know. You need to work on your Nat intake, because Nat intake is definitely something that, I don't know, bro. You know, I'm just saying, your workout's probably incomplete. I really hope there isn't a person listening to this who's going, yeah, man, I got to try this bug shit out. These Southerners, they got something going here.
This reminds me of the take of the day. What's the fucking site? Like the Alabama over Ohio State is the death of college football.
Oh, that'd be the big lead.
Okay,
which
yeah.
I have no personal experience with at all. Nope, not a bit.
Y'all can Google that one.
Yeah.
So I actually clicked on it. Did you happen to click on it?
I read like 8 words of it, and I was like,
it's not much longer than 8 words. It's like 3 paragraphs, and I think I memorized all of them. It's like Alabama was picked. That's what happened. Kirk Herbstreit walked off the set in disgust. And then it's like, Ohio State had so many good wins. Their resume was better. And then the final graph is like, 3 Southern teams. Imagine the TV ratings. And that's it. It's the whole fucking thing. They just push publish. Where's the post?
That's an excellent outline.
Who gives a shit about the TV ratings? First of all, they're going to be great because everybody wants to see Clemson again, like national brand Clemson.
Yeah, I mean,
at that point,
the ratings will be incredible because Oklahoma is involved. You know, bringing with it, you know, not just Norman, but the surrounding environs of Oklahoma
Tulsa?
City and maybe Tulsa.
Maybe. Does the brand carry that? I mean, I don't know. Baker Mayfield versus Nick Saban for the national title? Nah, nobody watched that. Nobody watched that.
Unless unless Nick suits up. He's got the leather helmet.
About the same size.
It's true. It's true. You know what? I bet Nick's got two snaps. Two. Not three. Definitely not three.
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually click on the bad take getting roasted, but I'm glad I clicked on that one.
I mean, I saw it and I was like, yeah, awesome, let's do it. First of all, I was like, which person at this site who knows nothing about this sport wrote this? And then I was like, oh, this one, yes. You know, like there's no point, by the way, like this is something people need to learn on the internet. You're like, there's no point in actually engaging with either a disingenuous conversation or one that's so stupid from the start you should throw it in the street like a drunkard. And that's one. You should just like, oh, okay, cool.
I think the key to maintaining your sanity is to just treat everything as entertainment product.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes even things that are actually trying to kill you, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, but in this case, don't get mad. Just enjoy it.
I have one, you know, in my head. I was like, what is one thing I do want to take out of the Big Ten title game? And it's this. It's a moment that I don't really want to forget. I try to cling to these to the end of the season because you go, oh, this is so fleeting, so quick. Everyone's careers are so fast. And, you know, these teams sort of, you know, come together and then they disband, you know, like sunrise and sunset. Right, I want to appreciate all of it at once.
They just leave for Texas A&M for $75 million guaranteed, just like that.
Pay up, bitch. Pay up. I need a new Christmas tree.
Welcome, coach. Where's my money?
That's the best. Jimbo's in such a hurry. Throw the tree out.
Get that shit out of here. Gotta go. $75 million.
I'm looking forward to a new.
I'll buy a fucking forest. Let's go.
I'm looking forward to a new era of Jimbo being like literally like, you know, only rich folks in my mentions, right? Like of him just becoming the biggest dick on the planet now that he's got an obscene amount, like more money than his West Virginia ass could have possibly imagined even touching.
Fucking
right?
Pony wearing gator boots, wearing the giant cowboy hat with rhinestones on it.
Just like, don't touch my horse, bitch. Don't.
World's fanciest cowboy.
Like, he's going to be richer than some of their boosters by the time this is done. Right? Some of them will be like, hey, coach, can we get a picture? He's like, get away from me, broke boy. Here, let me sign your forehead. Oh, okay, coach. Like, he's gonna be like toward the end of his tenure there will be zero football talk. It will all be about the price of like land in the Permian, right? Like, no, that went up this week. You need to go get on that, right? Hey, coach, what's the game plan for this week? Game plan is to make some money. He's gonna fire himself. That's how this is gonna work.
That's a good idea.
I know he's gonna become a massive booster for A&M and be like, you know whose fault this is? It's mine. You know who's gonna fix it? Me, Booster Jimbo. I'm gonna fire myself.
Better cash this guy out.
Yeah, what's the buyout? Oh, it's going up. That's it. I'm gonna predict this, by the way, that they have like one 10 or 11 win season and he gets an extension and more money out of this.
If you $97 million guaranteed for going 9-3.
Because if you don't know, we will repeat it for you. It's guaranteed. It's 10 years, $75 million, and it is all going to Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. We hadn't mentioned that on here, and we had to. Anyway, you're talking about things, wonderful moments to treasure that make you happy.
Get your dirty farm hand off me. I don't talk to poor people. Okay. People with low money, that's slow money. You get out of my way. We're living the fast life over here. Yeah, the thing I wanted to just remember from the Big Ten title game is this, that that Wisconsin is so much slower, so much more gritty, harder working than Ohio State, all right? Then that at one point they called, they made a great call. It was the call where they handed it off to, I believe, the fullback, and the fullback throws back to Hornibrook, right? Which was cool. Like, that's awesome. That's everything that you really, you know, that's everything you want in a championship game, right? Like, hey, you know, give me a trick play. It'd be cool. So they did. And Hornibrook got the ball in the open field. And man, when I tell you, if you rewind the tape, if he runs left, right, he's kind of, it goes from the right hash to the left hash, the pass, right? Moving from right to left on your radio dial. And the ball goes and it lands in Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook's hands. And he gets it. And if he just runs to the pylon, it's a TD. Now, this doesn't change anything. Wisconsin eventually gets this TD. But Hornibrook gets the ball, and rather than instinctively move to open space, which is what a ball carrier would do, Hornibrook sort of freezes up for a moment and then realizes that he's in open field with one defender to beat and immediately begins figuring out, almost like visibly, you could see him like, I need to think about how to get past this guy.
I choose to play juke.
RB! Like, spin, parry, thrust. Yeah, it was not good. He was like that's the problem with giving the ball to the quarterback. The quarterback is a ball handler. They're not a ball carrier typically in most offenses like Paul Christ's. And when that happened, you could see his brain lock up for a second as he realized, like, I don't know, like an old dad who gets up on the roof one day, like, I'll just get up on the roof, you know? And then what are you going to do? I'll just jump down. And you realize, oh, it's much farther than I thought it was. This physical situation is something I have really miscalculated from the jump.
Yeah, it was like a kid charging into the ocean and then realizing, like, oh, the waves are very tall and I am only 3 feet off the ground.
It was adorable. It was everything I love in college athletics that that poor Alex Hornibrook was like, I'm not a receiver.
I haven't been trained for this.
I should learn to swim before I go out here. Yeah. It was
he ordered the big novelty burger that if you finish the whole thing you get your plaque on the wall at the restaurant forever.
Yeah.
But he had a big lunch beforehand.
This is one of those, not like, oh man, you ate like 60% of that. Good go. No, he ate like a hamburger.
Yeah, she had a couple big bites. And big, just going to go down. Did you watch any of the ACC title game?
I kept doing this. I kept popping over like, let's see how they do. Oh, that's bad. Well, that's yep. Not. Oh, goodness. I think most of America did that too. Once Clemson sort of melted through and just reduced them to rubble and got up 14-0, you're like, yeah, I don't know if anybody on this team can block those guys. That doesn't seem to be good.
Yeah. Like when I considered flipping over, it was already 14-0, and it's like, okay, Miami's without their best receiver. I think we're good here. That'll do it. I'll keep the Mountain West game on standby instead.
Yeah, every time I saw anything happening in that game, it was usually this. It was usually, man, that quarterback's running around a lot for no reason. That's like Clemson running, smash, tidy pass, smash. Miami, oh man, quarterback he's doing so much work, y'all. So much work.
There was also the, the Big 12 game. So for the Big 12 and ruin its post. This was not the case as far as the playoff goes, because Oklahoma won, hung on to their spot, solidified themselves as number two, won convincingly enough to hold off a Georgia that, you know, blew away number two and avenged their only loss and had a pretty good claim for the number one seed. But little old TCU was the other team in this game and was in line for a New Year's Six Bowl, which would have brought the conference millions of dollars. And because it lost to an Oklahoma team that it was already clearly worse than, fell behind Washington. Now the Pac-12 gets that windfall. So they revived Big 12 title game. We were right all along. The Big 12 did shoot itself in the dick, as predicted.
Well done. I will. We'll have to get the reader who predicted that and give them full credit. But yeah, yeah, absolutely shot themselves in the dick. Which, when you think about it, pretty rootin' tootin' Big 12 thing to do there. Woo!
Pew, pew, ow!
Our most firearm-friendly conference by mascot. Yeah, ironically enough, shot itself in the dick. The market's never wrong. Yeah, and Baker Mayfield, I enjoy this, that Gary Patterson said, yeah, good luck defending them, have fun. He wasn't talking about Baker Mayfield. He was talking about the Oklahoma defense. That's how complete this was. That Gary Patterson was like, yeah, man, whoever faces them, have fun. He was talking about a Mike Stoops defense. That's how on it was versus the Horned Frogs. This was not close. It was not fun for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, the opponent adjusted numbers for the full season and so on and so forth, not a great defense. But, like, if you look at just the big games, Bedlam accepted. If you look at Ohio State, TCU, at times when it's needed to be on, it's been on. Then, of course, at times they'll give it 52 points. But, yeah.
Situationally, they can be really good.
Yeah, if they pull out the kind of game they did, you know, at their best. I mean, it feels crazy to say bet on Mike Stoops against, you know, Nick Chubb, but I don't know.
I mean, you just want to get that offense back out of the field.
That's it. It's like, just whatever it takes.
That's it. Whatever you can do to get Baker Mayfield out there, let him play safety. That's fine. That's cool. I was also correct in saying that the most entertaining game of the day would be the American Conference. Because the American Conference is, you know, like, at its peak, the most entertaining conference. Because, you know, typically they're where everybody else gets their, like, ideas and coaches now, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, man, some guy in the Americans just killing it. We should get him and sort of do a tamped down, slightly less interesting version of what he does with better players. Yeah, let's just do that. And that's the AAC because nobody plays defense whatsoever. When you get Memphis, like, Memphis ended up, this whole game ended up being pretty much what you would script, like, at the end of Varsity Blues, right? Everybody run the MTU. Just do it. Everybody just, you know, throw the ball all the time. When you run it, make sure it's wacky and you make a pitch like 15 yards downfield. Mackenzie Milton, me and my family would fight for you. Because you pitch, because not only you're a pretty damn good quarterback, you pitch the ball like 15 yards into a run.
He looks like, did you ever play the NFL Street video game?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you can like pitch the ball off the wall and it'll bounce back and like, you know, you can pitch like as you're diving into the end zone. That's how this dude, I don't know if I've ever seen an option quarterback do the stuff he does, like completely fearless. It's like time stops for him or something, you know, like he like literally does video game shit on the option. He's being tackled, but I guess not. That guy's got the ball. He's 30 yards downfield.
No, you know, it
looks like rugby shit.
No, it is literally rugby grade pitches all the way down the field, which, you know, like if anybody really wanted to do that, that was one thing that Kevin Kelly, the guy at Pulaski Academy, had entertained doing was okay, well, listen, once you secure the ball, make sure that you have a good relationship with the dude behind you, right? Like with a good option pitch relationship, because his thinking was, you know, like, where can you open up space? Oh, this is where you do it. You actually play the option well down the field. I kind of need to ask him about that, right? And see how that worked. But the guy that it reminded me of was Darian Hagan. Darian Hagan was like Colorado's quarterback in 89. And if you look him up, there's YouTube videos of him like 30 yards downfield. Some of the guys like closing in on him and, you know, the ball just goes boop. He just pitches.
It's like that kind of quarterback is like, yeah, I never relinquished my right to pitch. I have, you know, It's like we get in our heads that once you cross the line of scrimmage, like, okay, that's the ball carrier, you know. But in an offense like Scott Frost's, let's haggle about this.
No, do it 30 yards downfield. Like that's I totally think that's one of the future elements of like the game. If people are actually still playing football in 20 years in college, they'll just be like, well, screw it, pitch it, whatever. NFL will hate it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. 20 years would probably be, you know, the NFL, they're running nine verts.
If somebody's about to grab your Coors Light silver bullet flag, because it'll be flag football, but, you know, it'll be sponsored by some horrible swill beer.
So it's a beer dangling off your belt.
That's it.
They have to drink your beer and then you're tackled.
If they grab the silver bullet and chug the whole thing, if you pitch before they get a chance to do that, and then pitch to your teammate. Well, buddy, then you got three. That's three. You know, get a third pitch in there. That's three. That's half of a six pack, buddy.
If you recite the entire Pledge of Allegiance before the ball is, I do like the AAC brand. Like you say, it's almost like it's what the Mac was, but competent. You know what I mean? Like the Mac's brand. I don't really know if it ever really lived up to it all that much. Like there are some wild Tuesday nighters and all that, but you know, not a lot of really, really good teams. And like, I don't think the games were quite as wild on average as we always felt they were, but man, the AAC, first of all, we got good teams. The Power Six branding is a little bit of a stretch, but not that much.
No.
You know, if there were a Power Six, they would be the sixth. And like, you know, you got good coaches, you got good players, and they just do aggressive, cool shit and put a shitload of points. And like back to back, UCF might have played the two best games of the year. Hey, guess what? Nebraska's fun now. So get used to that. That's weird.
Man, that's going to be so weird because you know what? They're going to be good. I don't know. Imagine
2 years from now, like, oh shit, Nebraska Purdue is this Saturday? Fuck yes.
Tell my family I'm dead because I have to watch Nebraska Purdue.
You're getting married during Nebraska Purdue?
Fuck you.
Get out of my life.
Sir, it's the birth of your child. It can wait.
What?
Listen. The will says you got to be down there. It's $15 million. Yeah, I can't get there. It's by 2 o'clock. That's kickoff.
It was the Big Ten, so that's the middle of the third quarter.
The Purbraska death match. Which is much better than the Nebraska do. The Nebraska do. The most Midwestern thing ever would be to call that like the Nebraska dang noodle. Sponsored by Milton Farm Industries.
I think what they'll do is call it like the Wisdom Trophy. Just because every new Big Ten trophy, if it's not made by the internet, like if we don't take charge for you, we as the internet, Jim Delaney's going to do some Jim Delaney shit.
You notice the split, by the way. I love the split in the Big Ten psyche where if the people who are running the sport create something, it's always like, yes, this is the Courage Cup. The Courage Cup.
The Integrity Trophy.
And if it's from the fans, it's always like, broken bits of chair. It's always some sort of deeply absurdist shit. Like
Riot Bowl.
The Riot Bowl. The $7 bowl of custard bowl. Yeah, like that's...
The Bowl.
The Bowl.
who are we giving that trophy to? The Bowl Bowl.
Like, what's Wisconsin's tradition? I don't know. We play a rap song from Boston and everybody gets drunk and tries not to fall over while testing the structural integrity of the stadium.
Also, the student section cusses everyone out. Yeah. It's a beloved tradition.
It's a beloved tradition. As opposed to, like, in the SEC where it's like, what's the student tradition? They're like, yeah, we tell everybody to suck a tiger's dick. That's it.
A specific tiger's dick.
Yeah.
That
one. You're like, that's weird. That's weird on so many levels, dude. So many.
I don't know. Odell Beckham said we had to.
I don't know. We'll play a song that's actually a cameo song that was sampled on a Dem Franchise Boys record. And There's a lot to it, but it ends with us asking you to fillet a tiger, but a specific tiger at that. Again, easily four levels of weirdness there. So, Big Ten, I appreciate you for you know, the dichotomy of your soul.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy the SEC championship game. Not because Georgia won. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, they seem real happy. That's cool. You know, there's a lot of good kids. They work
Migos
hard.
Was happy. Quavo was there. Quavo was happy.
Quavo, you know, if Quavo's happy, I'm happy. That's fine. It just wasn't a very interesting game to watch because it became apparent very early on that, oh, okay, yeah, without a big old running back, you give the ball 30 to 35 times. Auburn tends to be a very different looking football team and not for their benefit.
It was the opening drive. It was like, oh, shit, here we go. Georgia's done. You know, it just looked like the first game had never ended. And then start of the second quarter, you know, Georgia is kind of taking charge. And it's okay, this is going to be good. And then next thing you know, you look up and like Auburn hasn't scored in half an hour of game time. And, you know, yeah, so like I think early in the third quarter, it was just okay, there are no other games on in FBS. So we're just stuck watching this. We're just stuck watching Georgia be Nick Saban for a while.
Yeah. And that involves, by the way, it was not helped by the worst performance by an officiating crew I've seen in a long time.
Oh, it was Pac-12ian.
Yeah, it was worse than Pac-12ian. It had all of the worst characteristics of Pac-12 officiating in that it seemed disorganized and labored, but it also had the ACC's worst tenants-like traits for some reason. A lot of ACC officials, particularly, yeah, the legendary Ron Cherry, retired but not forgotten, had a tendency to assume that what I wanted to see in a football game was Ron Cherry making calls, which perversely toward the end of his career was true, right? Like, it got to be so bad that I was like, oh, shit, man, we're under the Cherry moon. Let's watch Ron Cherry dominate this game. Because I had fully, like, gone past the hope of it being good and gone fully into the absurdist, like, hell yeah, throw that flag.
That's it. Now let's hear you describe it.
I'm listening.
So if the Pac-12 is, it's going to be just absurd debacle on the spectrum. The ACC ref is just very, 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 very picky.
Yes, very nitpicky. We'll call things, calls a tight game, one might say.
Does not let them play.
Like a second skin.
Yeah, and in this game it was, I mean, Georgia got flagged for, like, tackling at one point.
Oh, like, got like, a sideline warning for stuff nobody gets. Like, sideline warning on Georgia! And they show the camera and it's, like, two guys out there. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. The Pac-12, by the way, the differentiator for me is the Pac-12 usually have stammering and somebody, like, I don't know, like, the mic falls off their shirt or something, right? You know, like, or something. Look,
that happened too. That happened in one game this week where the ref, like, oh god damn it, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about, but it's anyway, y'all tweet at us because you know what I'm talking about. The ref said like four words all backwards and inside out, and do you know what I'm talking about here?
No, but
it was very good,
but I look forward to enjoying this simulated stroke.
Somebody's gonna send you the video and then we can share it. This is good radio.
That's again, that's my favorite thing about really bad officiating is when it turns into maybe this is the first time this person's ever done this, right? Like, it's holding, it's definitely holding on in the background. 53, some 53, whoever that is. There's not a 53 on the field. Well, that's on him.
On him now.
Spot of the foul. Third down. It's second. Second down. It's and I feel bad. Like, I do legit feel bad because it's a hard. Like, it's impossible. Like, officiating's impossible.
Impossible.
It's a really difficult job, you know? So, like, I try to always be relatively genial about it because I don't know what he is. You just go, dog, I don't know, man. You're having a bad day at the office.
Yeah, I'm not going to get mad. I mean, no. Even if it's all against my team, they're not trying to hurt my team. They just didn't see it, you know, or yeah. They didn't see the angle I saw, or we have a differing interpretation of the rule book, you know.
But
just find something to laugh
but,
at.
But I'm going to get these jokes off.
The jokes will be in rapid succession.
No, that's going to happen because, dude, we're all here to laugh with you and at you. It's possible. We're flexible. We'll do both of them, all right? But yeah, I didn't really particularly enjoy it. It just wasn't a real entertaining game. It was kind of like the officiating just took it completely out of rhythm. And Georgia looked real good. Like, Georgia looked incredible. Georgia looked like what Georgia probably should have looked like against Auburn. And Auburn looked like what Auburn looks like without Kerryon Johnson at running
back. I was, after this game, I was kind of listing out, like, you know, we've been saying for a couple months, like, this is a year of, like, parity. And, you know, everyone is massively flawed. There's something super wrong with every team. You know, Clemson lost to Syracuse. Oklahoma got in a bunch of shootouts with teams, you know, and you know, UCF ain't played nobody, and, you know, so on and so forth. And I got to Georgia, and it's like, their freshman quarterback looked bad in 1 out of 13 games, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Yeah. Everything else, y'all, their offensive line, go look at my favorite offensive line appreciator, Cole Kublik. Go look at his cut-ups of what Georgia's offensive line was doing toward the end of that game. I mean, all you need to know is that the domination was so complete and so unattached to whatever the final score might have been that a Holyfield child was in and getting significant carries at the end of the game. So that's really all you need. It was a domination of all of the teams you put in there. Like, at the end of the day, of the four playoff teams after championship weekend, the one I felt the best about was Georgia, because I'm like, oh, what they do is pretty simple, man. Like, that's what is it? Man, they're going to knuck up on you. They're just going to beat you up. And that's a very simple plan. If it goes well, it goes well. And if it doesn't, you know, you lose by large margins, but it's an honest proposal. Whereas, like, I don't know, Clemson's been consistent, but Clemson didn't really, like, until this game, like, maybe this is a spike that's indicating, like, oh, greater curve, and this is going to be a really dominant team. But for most of the year, Clemson's just pretty workmanlike, right?
Yeah, they don't really mash the gas. And, like, yeah. Clemson people will tell you, it's like, you know, you get up by 10 and then you put in backups. We you know, that's how we keep it rolling. We get, you know, get the young guys reps and all that, which, sure, that's cool if you can hang on to it, and they almost always do.
And that's how good they are, is that they can assume that, right? That they're like, oh, just put the backups, give them some reps. We can hold 10. Why? Because your defense is insanely good. You have an absolutely filthy defense and a defensive line that's probably, like, what, top 3 or 4 in the nation?
Oh, right? Sure. I mean, and we saw this in the Deshaun Watson era. You know, they just wouldn't run him during the regular season, save his legs for the playoff. Like, they're like, it's fucking Shaquille O'Neal playing himself into shape for the playoff or something.
Yeah.
Like, Clemson just, they think so long term in a way that a lot of programs don't. And that makes the playoff, like, fascinating for me. Like, you have Bama, okay, all the 5 stars, they're going to get a little bit healthier. Not everybody's going to come back, but they're going to be a lot better than they were against Auburn. Georgia looks like a damn monster. Oklahoma, same at this point, you know, and Clemson. I don't even think we know how good Clemson is this year.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, the whole Bama-Ohio State debate, it was, I don't know, there's not a good choice. Pick one.
Yeah.
Either way, this playoff is fucking awesome. All 4 teams can win it.
Yeah, and I know that, like, the real cocaine bet in this is Oklahoma, because you're like, I don't know, it could be 57-52. Maybe one of these defenses will just rain Baker Mayfield in, hold him down, and wallop on them for 4 quarters and turn it into, like, some awful 24-7 Saban crap, right? But at the same time, like, you know, maybe they could just pull off a 2-game. All you need is a 2-game win streak, man. And you know what? Baker Mayfield's pretty good at win streaks. So, yeah, it ended up being a fine playoff. I'm totally happy with it, right? That's really all I want, is a quality exhibition with the hint of a legitimate champion. Remember, over the course of 100+ years, this sport has moved from popularity contests between 20 writers in the Northeast to a kind of pseudo-scientific polling method to a made-up single-game playoff, and now in this sport's third century. We're now at the point where we have a quasi playoff with a whiff of legitimacy. It's getting, you know, it's getting, this is religion, folks. Religion moves slowly. The Vatican will approve a playoff sometime in 2200. We'll be so dead by the time that happens. It'll be great.
We should mention the Pac-12 title game as well on Friday when Stanford, the game plan in the second half was, again, like Ohio State, just keep giving it to the guy with one leg. Bryce Love, they showed him kind of unable to walk. Every time he gets hit, he has to have his ankle retaped. And, like, you're Stanford. You have a lot of running backs. Everyone on your roster is either a offensive lineman, tight end, who's 6'8", or a running back. What's happening here? I really didn't understand what Stanford was doing.
No, not one bit. I also, in watching it, like, nothing about Sam Darnold changed. Just, you know, you're like, let's see a different Sam Darnold tonight. Little NFL scout way back in your head, right? Let's see what he's got to show me. Oh, that he's an extremely risky proposition at all times, right? Like, when you make the biggest play of the game, throwing out of your own end zone with, you know, defensive lineman's hands, like, probably reaching your jersey. And, yeah, just make, like, a picture perfect throw 40 yards on a rope to get your team all the way down the field. Yeah, that's in flip. Yeah, that's it just makes in really ill-advised decisions that I really wish he'd stay in school for another year. He won't, and he probably shouldn't, but man, like,
don't. Yeah, money is cool.
Money's cool. I mean, when it's coming from the Browns.
Well, I think Jets. You know, him and Rosen, they'll always be compared to each other. And, like, when Josh Rosen throws a pick, I don't know. I just feel like, well, he had to. He had to try something. You see the rest of this team, what was he supposed to do? You know, he had to try to squeeze the thing in there. With Arnold, it's like, did he really have to try to do, just, you know, take the sack and then hand it off to one of your five-star running backs? You know, like, I don't know if I ever have. I get Darnold.
I know you could have. You're like, oh, look, your safety valve is open. Okay, well, I can understand. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you're not a risk-averse quarterback. Maybe you're one of those guys who's going to try to make things happen. Counterpoint. You could just throw the ball to Ronald Jones and watch Ronald Jones just, you know, Vitamix his way through the rest of the defense for a first down because he's amazing. Yeah, like, I almost wanted to play a game with the two of them where they switched teams. Right?
Oh, like, goodness. I think
that would have been so instructive for me because, like, you're like, well, look, Rosen went 28 for 540 yards, 8 TDs, mm-hmm. right? And one pick, or I'm sorry, 27-28, because he threw one pick that he said he did for humility, right? Like, Rosen was like, it's a philosophical lesson. I'm just going to give you one to remind you that I chose to give this to you.
It was a field position decision. You know, I didn't trust our punter in that situation. Punter says, well, yeah, I understand.
You're correct, Josh. Like, I sort of feel like with Sam Darnold, like, it, behind UCLA's line and working with those skill players, it might have been a very different story on him.
Yeah. Obviously, we're biased. This is a Josh Rosen, program.
Josh Rosen positive program sponsored by Josh Rosen.
Someday we might be.
I hope so. The bowl season, we're not really going to touch on it tonight directly because we have a lot of that to go. And I mean, y'all have a lot of it because I'm leaving the country.
Yeah, that's true. Playing the scene just in time.
Good luck. Have fun with that. Thanks, Gary. But we're not really going to touch on it too much. I do want to say that a couple of things, as the kids would say, appear to be a light, appear to be exciting, appear to be good prospects for the bowl season, just beyond the standard playoff matchups, right? Because playoff matchups, I think we agree, they're hot. They're very good.
Yes.
Whereas the bowl matchups, the bowl matchups are everything one could want out of a bowl season, and then the rest of it too. It's all there.
What, Kentucky Northwestern isn't moving you?
No. you know what? I will say this, though. I did look at it, and I was like, oh, man, UAB, Ohio. Then I looked over and saw it was the Bahamas Bowl, and I was like, I'm going to bring that up a notch.
The yeah, I mean, there's some winners in there. It's a bowl season. There are Texas Tech USF in Birmingham.
Hater.
That's the one that makes
classic.
Me
say, you know what? That's gonna. What
happened here?
I'm gonna call this. It's either gonna hail or snow in that game. Just something like that. Just screams it, right? Like, do you remember when you saw Texas Tech and USF play in a rain of frogs in Birmingham?
Bunch of USF, you know, Tampa boys. What the fuck is happening?
I don't like. I give the advantage to anyone from Lubbock in that when you're like, why is it raining mud? And everyone in Lubbock is like, man, you know what? The mud rain is the best. That's the good stuff.
Oh, I love a nice mud rain.
Reminds me of my favorite George Strait song, Mud Rain.
That was the one where, you know, like I do our bowl projections every week, and I'll tell you what, man, I could have done 1,000 of those and not settled on Texas Tech USF in Birmingham. I don't know how they cooked that one up, but I'm glad they did.
Guaranteed banger. Peach Bowl. Auburn, UCF. Oh, Auburn.
Oh, buddy, you better want it.
Watch. I want you to watch all your asses.
Gus, I know you just got paid, which means you're back on the hot seat, so you better not go and lose to the mid-major.
Yeah, don't, because that's definitely a fire Gus week if that happens, right? Like, remember two kinds of weeks in Auburn? There's the keep Gus and there's the fire Gus weeks. And if you lose to UCF, a very game-able, challenging, and extremely angry, undefeated UCF team, right? They lost their coach. And they get excluded from any sort of real postseason considerations. Yeah, guess what, y'all? You're in trouble. Like, you buckle the hell up, because you don't want to lose this one for a lot of reasons, Auburn. Another one, which is an like, again, if you told me this was going to be a great game, I would have laughed in your face. But here we are. Foster Farms Bowl, Arizona, Purdue. Lit. Ablaze.
I think this is the the college football hipsters game of the, at least on the Power Five level. You know, Khalil Tate versus Jeff Brom.
Hold my calls. Everybody else is like, what? And you go, I'm going to have to explain this to you as to why you should watch a bowl game being played in a, I believe, a baseball stadium in San Francisco in front of some very confused locals.
90 people in attendance.
90 people and me, or 91 with me. Sitting there, this is the best shit ever.
They just ran a triple flea licker. Oh my god!
Oh my god! Khalil Tate just dove in the bay. They're gonna have to get him out with a kayak.
Someone I think tweeted this at us earlier, and I don't know. Go check our mentions and credit that person. Michigan State. Oh, they fucked up. They're playing somewhere with nice weather.
Oh no.
They're playing in Northern Cali. They're doomed.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, it's in Santa Clara. They're not playing at the baseball stadium anymore, by the way. So Khalil Tate doesn't get to run into the water. He gets to run into I don't know, parking lot. Located next to Jamba Juice, located next to, I don't know, Apple.
Man, I wonder if you took all his rushing yards, how many seasons of football it would take him to actually reach San Francisco.
From Santa Clara, like 30.
Yeah.
Easy. And then when you factor traffic in, yeah, running laterally through that.
He's going to be 60 years old.
Fortunately, lane splitting is legal in California, so he'd probably make some really good time there. He'd be there by the time he was 50. In addition to that, a couple of other ones that I'm just like looking at and going, oh, there's an art to this game, but I'm not saying it's the kind of art you'd hang on your wall. Okay? Maybe like a Francis Bacon, right? Tortured. Painful. Let's put this in a museum so I don't have to look at it. The Outback Bowl has Michigan and South Carolina. I didn't know I needed to see Jim Harbaugh and Will Muschamp try to like play a football game between two kind of teams that are challenged in some different and yet very similar ways. But here we are. Oh God.
Yeah, both coaches have been ejected. Now Ryan Nanny is in charge of both teams.
Yeah, this is hey, coach. Wait, Coach Muschamp, your team having a good time down here? You know, because like a bowl's not for a good time. Oh, he's gonna be so unhappy.
Coach, you know, if you win this game, all of America gets a free coconut shrimp. What the fuck is a shrimp?
This is like when Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt revealed that he did not know what asparagus was. Not that he had never eaten it, but that he didn't know what it was.
Yeah, that's real. That happened.
Yeah, that's real, and that happened. Alabama's, that's how long he's been in the fill room for Nick Saban. I don't know what vegetable is. What about this, like, triple complicated, like, exotic blitz? Oh, that's easy. Asparagus? What the hell?
I think we're done.
Yeah, no, we're
also Herm Edwards is official now.
No, now we're done. They did it.
They fucking did it. What the fuck?
You play to win the game, and also to
play
get your...
to win six games.
You play to win four games. You play to win to get your former agent to hire you, even though you're 64.
Jesus.
Oh man, I hope Tom Graham is somewhere with like the lightest, cheapest beer possible, just soaking it all in.
And in the picture that ASU tweeted out, it's of Herm Edwards looking up as if to say, huh?
That's hey, listen, you can't spell Herm without huh?
Huh?